Hello, and welcome to my podcast. This is an audio version of my videos, available to make listening to my stuff in the background easier than YouTube makes it. But since my videos are primarily made for YouTube, there may be occasional references to visual materials. If you'd like this podcast ad-free, you can join us on Patreon at patreon.com/vicerhino. Please enjoy. Hello, and welcome to my channel. Vice Rhino here. Today, I'm looking at another video by none other than Sexy Kent Hovind, Daniel of the channel DLM Christian Lifestyle. Now, before I get into this, I will be skipping his little intro thing as I usually do, but I did just want to point out that I paused it at one point, and there seems to be a picture of a dude running a 24-pin power connector to his nipple. I don't know why that was there, it goes by very fast, but I thought I'd share that amusing fact with you guys. Now, on to the video!
Hi guys, now this is another video request. We got so many questions about pornography.
Yes, there are a lot of questions about it, and there are a lot of bad answers to be found out there. Probably the most important points to make about it are to make sure you are getting it from sources that don't exploit their performers, and make sure that you recognize that what you are seeing in it is a performance, and as with any performance, what you see on screen will not be quite how it works in real life. Just as an example, anytime a computer is used in a TV show or movie, it's barely even close to related to how computers actually work. Did you know that if I type a bunch, that'll make hacking faster? And to protect against being hacked, you need to also type a bunch, and then whoever types the most wins the hacking!
I'm trying, it's moving too fast.
Oh, this is not good. We're using our connection to the Infos database. Sever it!
I can't!
Yeah, that's not exactly how hacking works. It's much more boring than that. Same idea here. Not necessarily that it's more boring, but that it's not an accurate representation.
Is it a sin to watch porn and to masturbate?
No, because a sin is a transgression against God. If there is no God, there is no sin. But even if there is a God, why would an all-powerful creator of the universe be so invested in what human beings do with their genitals? Like, this is where you kinda lose me on this. A common comparison used in churches to help people understand just how amazing it is that God even bothers to pay attention to us is comparing us to ants, and that would be like us caring about all the personal interactions of each of the members of the ant colony. So, using this as the comparison, sin shouldn't even exist even if a God does exist. How could we possibly do anything that would offend God if he is actually as great as the Christian God is supposed to be? The idea that such a being would concern themselves with our genitalia just doesn't make any sense.
How to stop watching pornography?
The stop button usually does the trick for me. It's not like it's as fun to continue watching once you've finished.
And how to overcome pornography addiction?
In most cases, that's not really a serious concern. In some cases, the behavior can be compulsive, in which case you should be seeking the help of a licensed medical professional, not some guy on YouTube.
So many questions, messages, emails, of not just men, but of women and children that are not even 13 years old yet.
Yeah, it is a bit of an awkward issue when it comes to kids. Obviously, they are human, and their bodies are often big hormonal messes that cause them to sometimes make bad decisions that they know are bad, but the emotional factors that lead to the decision are stronger than the rational factors that would inform them that the decision is indeed a bad one. Also, addictive behavior can often start during adolescence, so specifically with regards to pornography, it is important to make sure they don't feel shamed with regards to their sexual urges, while simultaneously not just allowing them free rein over all the internet to find whatever their heart desires.
Now you need to understand that pornography is a very big problem.
It's only as big a problem as you make it.
Worldwide. According to Fight the New Drug, porn sites receive more traffic than Netflix, Amazon, and Twitter combined each month. And 35% of all internet downloads are porn-related.
Yeah, porn has always been a pretty big segment of the internet. Back in 1995, a Democrat senator went on a pearl-clutching, fear-mongering tirade about the dangers of internet porn, while proposing an amendment to the Telecommunications Act that eventually became the infamous Communication Decency Act. Probably my favorite part of all this was when he held up a binder on the Senate floor and warned that it was filled with all sorts of perverted pornography that is just a few clicks away, saying, "I cannot and would not show these pictures to the Senate. I would not want our cameras to pick them up, but I hope that all of my colleagues, if they are interested, will come by my desk to take a look at this disgusting material." Yes, come and look at it, to see how gross it is. The main thrust of his argument was about how there are over 450,000 pornographic images on the internet. Oh, such a tiny little baby internet, so cute. Which between them had been accessed an estimated 6.4 million times. You know, which for 1995, it's little baby internet, that was a good chunk of internet traffic. There were only about 23,500 websites total, so that means there are about 20 pornographic pictures on the internet for every one website in 95. But that's kind of human nature. Every time a new technology develops, someone uses it for erotic purposes. The oldest sculptures that we have are naked ladies with exaggerated breasts and butts. When the Sumerians invented cuneiform writing, they wasted no time in composing sonnets directed at vulvas. The Bible may have been the first book printed on the Gutenberg press, but within a century, there was a collection of sex positions published that were based on the sonnets of Aretino, who is sometimes called the world's first pornographer. People like to see naked people. That's just a fact of life. Stigmatizing it doesn't actually do anything to help anyone.
And sadly, child porn is one of the fastest growing online businesses.
Firstly, I'd like to know where you got that chart. There was very little information on it that would actually be useful, but I'm curious what the source is. Secondly, child porn is a separate issue from pornography in general. The vast majority of people that I am aware of who use porn are at least as appalled as you at the concept of child porn. The linking of legal porn with child porn is a completely unjustified fear-mongering tactic that relies on the slippery slope fallacy. Thirdly, I would love for all child porn to disappear forever. Unfortunately, that's not within my power. The free streaming services are being pressured into having tighter restrictions on who can upload. It would be great, in my opinion, if anyone that uploads to those sites were made to provide age verification and consent forms for everyone appearing in their videos before any of their videos could be published. Now, I get it, that would make it much more of a hassle to publish the videos, but I'd rather have inconvenient porn than illegal porn. In the meantime, the best way to make sure that you aren't accidentally supporting someone who is engaging in illegal activities is to just pay for your porn. Research the companies you buy it from first as well. It's relatively easy to find sites being rated based on how they treat their performers.
Now you might think that it's only guys who watch porn. Wrong. That's a society lie.
Excellent. Right you are. Women like to be visually stimulated as well. Pretty much every demographic, in fact, will have people who like to look at other naked people, sometimes while those other naked people do the sex. Well, with the possible exception of the asexual demographic, though it wouldn't surprise me to learn that they can still enjoy certain forms of porn or erotica from a non-erotic perspective.
According to Society Today, a 2019 Google Analytics data showed the audience for the world's most popular porn site showed that 32% are women.
That number seems low, but I don't understand why you would think that's a bad thing. This sort of thing often gets trotted out in these sorts of videos. It's not just men, it's women who do it too, as though that is supposed to make it worse somehow.
Another evil part about this is that pornography and sex trafficking goes hand in hand.
Yeah, sometimes it does, which is why I emphasized the importance of paying for your porn earlier. Preferably directly paying the performers through platforms like OnlyFans, but there are certainly other ways to go about making sure your porn is ethical. This is also a problem with the prostitution industry, and in fact it's a bit of a catch-22 for prostitution, as studies have shown that legalizing prostitution actually increases sex trafficking, but pretty much every other metric by which we would measure the morality of prostitution gets better if it's legalized. Conditions for the workers themselves are much better than when it is illegal, and usually enforcement of prostitution laws ends up punishing the sex workers rather than the pimps that are exploiting them. So on the one hand, there is the fact that legalizing it will likely increase human trafficking, but on the other hand, having it illegal is detrimental to all sex workers, regardless of how they ended up in that profession. So it's not necessarily got an easy solution. But you know what isn't the solution for sure? Purity culture.
It's sick, isn't it?
Yes, it is, which is why education on the matter and how to consume porn ethically is incredibly important. Because if one thing is made clear by religious anti-porn ministries, it is that no matter what you do, people will watch porn, even the ones who agree with you about how terrible it all is. So it is far better to educate and destigmatize so that they can get their porn ethically than it is to condemn everyone involved and so have people resorting to shady methods of obtaining shady porn.
So next time, if you want to watch porn, remember all of this.
Yes, remember all of this, and so learn how to do it ethically. Then, when you succumb to the desires of the flesh, which statistically speaking, you will, even if you have the religious guilt of God is mad that I touch myself, at least if you do it ethically, you won't have the additional guilt of I potentially just supported sex trafficking. And also, just as an interesting side note, this line of argumentation kind of betrays the fact that Christians don't really think that God is watching them, because they don't actually behave as though God is watching them. I know that if my dad were in the room with me, doesn't matter how horny I may be at the time, there is zero chance of me putting on some porn and taking care of things. God is our heavenly Father, but even as a Christian, I had no problem doing it in front of him. Sure, I'd feel guilty afterwards, and I knew I'd feel guilty beforehand, but knowing that you'll feel guilty is not the same as being caught in the act, which you definitely are every time if God is real. So instead of just appealing to the fact that God is in the room with you watching you masturbate, they appeal to the idea that you are directly supporting human trafficking. Now you just have to ignore those verses in the Old Testament where God approves of the Israelites engaging in human trafficking and sex slavery.
Now, the question, is it a sin to watch pornography and masturbate? Is it a sin to lust after other men and women? Yes, it is. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 27 to 30. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart.
Yes, that's right. Just thinking that someone else is hot is as bad as cheating on your spouse. One of the many reasons why pretty much all humans fail the criteria for admission into heaven, thereby requiring a human sacrifice to pay for their crimes.
If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell.
One of the implications of this verse that Christians usually ignore is that it is talking about the body you are going to be stuck with for eternity. Now, it's debatable as it doesn't explicitly say it, but it does heavily imply that being dismembered in heaven is better than being whole in hell. That said, this is also one of those verses that Christians don't obey anyway. Otherwise, there would be a lot more Christians missing eyes and hands than there are. In fact, one of the staples of a Christian anti-porn video is a humblebrag admission by the person making the video that they once struggled with the issue as well. Well, you shouldn't have struggled with it. You should have just gouged your eyes out and cut your hands off like Jesus commanded.
And let me be very open and transparent here. I am not better than you.
Well, speak of the devil, here it comes. I knew it.
I used to watch porn when I was younger. You, Daniel, but now you're a pastor. You? Yes, me.
Yep, the yes, even me. But I overcame it, and if I did, then you can too. Well, you still have both your eyes and hands, so clearly you didn't overcome it the way Jesus told you to.
I'm a lot stronger now, spiritually. But even now, I'm not just Pastor Daniel. Or Preacher Daniel, I am human Daniel, and I have a sinful nature in me.
If I pretend for a second that sin is a real thing that exists, then whose fault is it that you have a sinful nature? According to most Christian theologies, you were born with it. It's not your fault. And yet, God will punish you for all of eternity if you go through your life with the sinful nature and don't accept a human sacrifice to cleanse your nature. This doesn't seem like a very good system if you ask me. God makes you with a sinful nature and then punishes you for being the way he made you. Now sure, it's supposed to be Adam's fault, but a system of justice that punishes the descendants of a person for as long as that person has descendants is one of the most unjust setups I could ever imagine. But ask a Christian and they'll likely tell you that God embodies perfect justice.
I'm capable of doing any kind of sin out there in the world because of the sinful nature.
Well, that's gross. You can stay away from my kids. I know there are many, many things that are considered sinful that I am not even capable of doing, and I wouldn't want someone who is capable of doing them anywhere near my family.
If not for the grace of God.
Yes, that's what worries me. God doesn't actually exist, so apparently the only thing holding you back from going on a rape, pillage, murder spree is your imaginary friend. Congratulations, you just qualified as someone who I would not be happy to see deconvert. If you need to think God is real to stop you from doing that sort of thing, then by all means continue thinking that God is real. But most of us have the concern for the well-being of our fellow human beings to stop us from that sort of thing.
And you are capable of any kind of sin as well.
I'm really not, though. I feel guilty when carelessness on my part allows my cat to escape the home and then she comes home with a dead rodent. She's particularly adept at capturing voles. With the guilt that I feel about the actions of a cat because I allowed the cat to escape, I doubt very much that I would ever be able to bring myself to end a human life. For fuck's sake, there are still times when I lay awake in bed agonizing over things that I did in grade school that may have hurt someone's feelings. So, no, there are some quote-unquote sinful behaviors that I am just not capable of because I'm too much of a softie.
We all have the sinful nature in us. Only God is perfect.
Not if he behaves in the way the Bible depicts him. Perfect people don't make excuses for why they can commit genocide. Perfect people don't punish children for their parents' crimes. Perfect people don't make imperfect things and then punish those imperfect things for the crime of being how they were made. Your God is not perfect.
We will be one day when we are with him. But while we're here on this world, you can be the best Christian out there, the most mature. You can still fall in sin.
Yes, God set an impossibly high standard for everyone except for himself, and then made us in a way that makes it impossible for us to even come close to his impossibly high standard. But if we praise and worship him, then he'll let us take advantage of a loophole that he set up so that his most devoted sycophants can continue their praise and worship for all of eternity. God sounds like a narcissistic asshole.
All of this is sin. And you need to learn how to overcome sin itself, and not just one type of sin.
With Jesus! Sure, whatever. But if there are actual behaviors that are having a significantly detrimental effect on your life, then seeking evidence-based therapy is the appropriate way to deal with it, not just believing Jesus will help you. And turning to a pastor or Christian counselor is likely not going to help you either.
But today, we focus on pornography. Because it is one of the biggest issues in the lives of not just normal people, but in the lives of Christians today.
Well, you heard it here first. Christians are not normal people.
It might shock you that 64% of Christian men and 15% of Christian women watch porn once a month.
Is it bad that not only do I know where he got that statistic, but also that I am on their mailing list? I even filled out the form to get the End Porn Now bumper sticker, which I don't think will actually be coming because they said that they don't ship internationally and they're based in the US. Their form still let me put in my Canadian address though, so maybe one day I'll have a surprise in my PO box from them. The last email they sent me was a story about how a pastor admitted to having an affair, so give us money because clearly we need to do more work. It's also a really gross organization. For instance, you can go to their website and take a purity quiz to find out how likely you are to have a sexual addiction. And question one is asking if you were sexually abused as a child. So if you've ever been abused, then you are impure in these people's eyes. What a disgusting attitude to have.
So how do you fight this? Is it possible to fight it? Can you overcome porn?
You can, but more than likely the appropriate action to take is nothing. Porn use can be normal. As this guy points out, most people use it. So if we destigmatize it, then there won't be a problem. Communication with partners is a key part of that. Now, he's about to go over what he calls his 5-point battle plan for overcoming porn addiction. I'm going to go through it rather quickly. We're less than halfway through his video at this point, and I feel like I've already dealt with the most important aspects of porn use. That is, do what you can to make sure you aren't supporting human trafficking, and destigmatize porn use so that people who genuinely do have a problem with it won't feel bad about seeking professional help. So the first point of his 5-point battle plan is
admit and confess.
Well, I support the destigmatization of porn use. If you are not comfortable admitting that you use it, then you don't need to admit it to anyone that isn't one of your sexual partners. And even then, depending on the type of relationship, it isn't necessarily any of their business. Each relationship is different, though, so whether or not you should share this information with your partner is ultimately up to you. Anyone that is not your sexual partner or healthcare provider does not have an automatic right to know about your sexual habits.
You need to admit it and confess it to yourself, but also to God.
I mean, it's weird that an all-knowing being needs you to tell him about something that he should already know about, but let me just say, definitely do not tell your pastor. They do not have a right to know, and they will most likely give you very bad advice with a good heaping dose of shame to go along with it.
Flee from temptation. Stay away from situations that will tempt you to watch porn.
That's not always possible or reasonable.
Is it when you scroll down Instagram, or when you work on your laptop, or when you watch TV late at night? Never put yourself in that position.
See what I mean? These are just normal everyday activities that he is now advocating that you never do. In particular, when you work on your laptop is for many people a necessary part of their life. A lot of people do work that involves them working on their computers at home, at least on occasion. Are you seriously suggesting that someone quit their job because they may occasionally take a spank break?
Flee. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexual immoral person sins against his own body.
What a gross message. But if we take it at face value, then let me ask, what business is it of God's what we do to our own bodies? Why should it bother him if we masturbate? And this is a sin against our own body, but there are literally zero negative health outcomes associated with masturbation, and lots of positive ones. Everything from an improved overall mood, to the relieving of cramps, to improved sexual performance, to even decreasing the risk of prostate cancer in men. So, God made our bodies in such a way that there are zero bad health outcomes for masturbation, but plenty of good health outcomes, and then decided that we should not masturbate. Why would he do that? That just makes zero sense. So not only is it none of God's business because it's our own body, but God designed our bodies to physically benefit from doing an activity that he supposedly doesn't want us to do. And yeah, technically speaking, the Bible never speaks out against masturbation directly, but it does speak out against lust. It's pretty hard to masturbate without feeling lust, so I'm not gonna nitpick that. But also worth mentioning is that the health benefits of masturbation do not seem to be directly tied to masturbation itself, they are tied to sexual activity. So sex and masturbation are good for you, but don't do them because it makes Jesus sad.
God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it.
Another gross message. The end result here is that if you ever give in to temptation, that's your fault. God made sure you'd be able to handle it, but you didn't. Shame on you. Fuck that, God's a dick.
Confess and pray with another Christian.
Translation: find someone who will make you feel guilty for your normal feelings and actions on a regular basis.
Grow spiritually. Every time you get tempted, that feeling that you want to look at porn, because it will come, if you're addicted to pornography, until you break the addiction. When that feeling comes, go and read your Bible.
I'd recommend reading the Song of Solomon in particular, with such steamy passages as an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among the young men. With great delight I sat in his shadow, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. And let my beloved come to his garden and eat its choicest fruits. And your stature is like a palm tree, and your breasts are like its clusters. I say I will climb the palm tree and lay hold of its fruit. Oh, may your breasts be like clusters of the vine, and the scent of your breath like apples, and your mouth be like the best wine. It goes down smoothly for my beloved, gliding over lips and teeth. There's literally a pornographic book in the Bible, and yet you recommend reading the Bible to escape from porn. I guarantee you there have been people who masturbated while reading the Song of Solomon, and yet it's in the Bible. How do you square that with your condemnation of all things pornographic?
Fight in the Spirit.
I literally just skipped the whole part about him telling you to put on the armor of God with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of whatever the fuck and all that. How is this going to be different?
There are so many Christians out there who feel weak, worthless, like a zero, because they cannot overcome pornography.
Which is why it is so important to destigmatize its use. Most people don't have a problem with porn that would actually qualify as an addiction, but because sex is such a strong urge in humans, the power of horniness is a hard thing to resist, pun intended. So if we make people feel like shit for giving in to something that is a perfectly normal and healthy behavior that has such strong urges behind it, then you're going to end up with a lot of people feeling like shit and not actually doing any good. And on top of that, this is coming from a guy who is a model.
But why male models?
You serious? I just told you that a moment ago.
It is not hard to find pictures of this guy in sexy poses wearing very little clothing. I guarantee you there have been both men and women who have masturbated while looking at this guy's sexy pics. And according to the Bible, it would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were cast into the sea than for you to tempt others into sin. Now, personally, I would suggest that you're a good-looking guy, and if you enjoy sharing your good looks with others, it's fine. It's all good. No harm done. But the Bible that you are using to preach from would suggest that you end your modeling career and do your best to remove these sexy pictures of you from the internet, as you are a temptation into sin. This part is basically the same as the armor of God part. He just tells you that you need to grow spiritually, mostly by reading the Bible, which, yeah, I definitely recommend giving it a read, but don't stick to the daily devotional verses. Actually read the whole thing from cover to cover. I set out to do that when I was a Christian, and I was an atheist by the book of Joshua. And looking back on it as an atheist, I'm surprised I got that far into it before becoming an atheist. That's it for this one. Today's comment of the day comes to us from Setichek, who says, I'm wondering how churches would look if Jesus was stoned. Pile of stones instead of a cross? P.S. It's so calm to watch videos with good, rational, and reasonable arguments after the swamp full of brainwashed people in the comment section under atheist videos. I'm not sure what the second part of that means or is referring to, but I did want to mention that when reading the first part of this comment, my initial reaction wasn't he stoned? The Sermon on the Mount makes a lot more sense if he were stoned. Like, dude, you're like salt, man. But if salt doesn't, like, taste salty anymore, then how does it get its saltiness back? But then I realized you were talking about the method of execution, and it made more sense. Thanks for watching. Special thanks as always to my patrons, Lynn Dobbs, Mark McManus, What Jesus, and all the rest, who are the temptation that keeps my channel masturbating. If you'd like to have a millstone around your neck at the bottom of the sea, you can join us on Patreon for as little as a dollar per week over at patreon.com/vicerhino. If you feel so inclined, you can also support the channel through direct donation or my Amazon wishlist, which are linked in the description. If you'd like to listen to my videos in podcast form, the link for that is also in the description, as well as links to my social media accounts and my P.O. Box address. See you next time!